Divided Kingdom Evening Watchman Program. Elizabeth Cubitt Cavalli and I, Lou Cavalli, are bringing another vital program to all of you listeners on WWCR, Liberty Works Radio Network, which is LWRN.net, Global Star, and K-Star Talk Radio. We are deep in October 2021, nearing the Halloween, evil, satanic heart of darkness. This heart of darkness undoubtedly includes annual covert human sacrifice ceremonies. But this year is more horrific than the normal abnormal. We are in total shock. On October 26th, just 4 days before Halloween, Health Ranger Mike Adams of naturalnews.com and brighteon.com announced he was coming to the mic trembling. He was trembling at the soon wrath of God coming full on America. You see, he announced the advisory committee of the FDA had just approved the Pfizer COVID vaccine for children ages 5 to 11. Never mind the 24,000 little tots herded into the stadium in Australia without their parents, with one or two little ones dying almost immediately post-shot. No, we are going to build back better under Biden. We are going to quickly ready 28 million children's COVID clutch shots for our beloved little American children. Elizabeth and I are beyond simply being shocked to the core and heartsick. Where in God's name are the thousands of pastors in America? Will they now stand up against this proposed slaughter and maiming of our greatest treasure, our children? If they and millions of Christians stay silent, we can expect God's judgment to bring living hell on earth to this disobedient, unrepentant, church in name only America. We can only ask for all of you to pray and get as our Heavenly Father guides you, requires, and act as our Heavenly Father requires you. Now, moving to other breaking news headlines. Elizabeth?
Well, Lou, Jacinda Ardern, New Zealand's Prime Minister, says there will be two classes of people, the vaccinated and the non-vaccinated. And recently, President Biden, building back better, I guess, on a Thursday evening had a fake town hall. All questions were scripted, and according to Mike Adams in his humorous satire, it was like Beavis and Butthead. Biden was just shaking his hand a lot. You know, it was just very pathetic. And now we have Walensky of the CDC. She is now saying that to be fully vaccinated, one will have to include the boosters. Are we surprised? No, we're not. Then we had another headline, and this seems to be a modicum of common sense in light of this horrific new news from the FDA and our little children. Sweden halts Moderna after vaccinated patient develops crippling heart condition. And that was en masse. They were halting the vaccine, period. Why can't we do that here? Are any of you going to call your state representatives, your senators? I really hope so. Lou and I cannot do more than we're doing right now to try to bring you this cutting-edge news when you will not hear it covered up on Fox, the vaccine channel. You will not hear it many places. And whatever you do hear, you're not going to hear in the libertarian community. You're going to hear a lot of New Age stuff. We're going to have David Icke coming on with his anti-organized Christianity rants. We're going to have other New Age people, somebody named Wilcock. No, do not be led astray. Jesus Christ is our only hope in this hellacious turn of events. Now, another headline, there was a stunning admission from Australia also that they plan to expose everyone to COVID via the vaccinated super spreaders. And, of course, they'll use them to infect the entire population. And at first, when I heard this, I thought, this is another sort of a monster. This is another Walensky, the CDC, Batwoman, whatever. But when I saw her on a little clip, video clip, Jeanette Young, I thought, my goodness, I think she's sincere. She's being duped. She thinks that to get everyone having COVID through the super spreaders from the COVID clot shots, that way nobody will be too sick and everybody will be acclimated and the whole thing will be presto, magic, cured. I say this because I looked at her face and I was very much reminded of a woman doctor who was a specialist in things like rheumatology and all of that. And when yours truly awoke overnight after Labor Day of 1993, crippled, immediately crippled. The day before, I had been okay. And my long 18-month ordeal with Lyme disease began. So pretty soon, we made an appointment with this rheumatologist. And so she talked to me, and she was just dressed to the hilt. She was rather young, maybe in her 30s, blonde-haired, and she just had the latest styles from Vogue. She just really looked so spiffy. And so what she told me when I told her I needed to be tested for Lyme disease, she said, well, why don't we just wait and come back in your next appointment 3 months from now, and we'll check you. Well, later, when the disease progressed and it became unbearable to almost be alive, out of panic, out of desperation, Lou contacted our family doctor because Lou was tutoring the family doctor's high school daughter, high school age daughter. And, of course, he was also owed one because the mother had some kind of car trouble one night and he took care of things. So it was like they realized that it would be morally the right thing for him to make a home visit. And he did. And during that time, I always felt that Jesus Christ was there with us in person because Jesus Christ gave him a great sympathy for my plight. And he brought all kinds of wonderful specialized help into this home. He got physical therapists. And, of course, he ran the Lyme test that the other person wouldn't. And at that time, and it's still iffy, it was somewhat indeterminate. So I was never put on medicine, and I'm very thankful because what I did, I took a leave on my own because I knew that my late father had had a time when his shoulder was in such a frozen state that he couldn't move it, and he said a leave worked miracles. Well, actually, he said Naprosyn because that's what he was prescribed, and I knew they were the same thing. So at any rate, during this little intro here where I was going to be helped gradually over 18 months' time, I mentioned this other doctor, and he says, oh, you mean Molly the housewife? So you see, I think that some of these people, like Jeanette Young, they don't have the same look that a Nancy Pelosi or a Chuck Schumer has. They don't. They're duped. And they should be at home taking care of their children and being housewives instead of being so-called qualified health officials in Queensland, Australia. Some other news, Lou? Some other headlines?
Yes, from Natural News, the majority of COVID deaths in Switzerland, make that Sweden, and the United Kingdom are among the fully vaccinated. Biden considers activating the National Guard to assist with worsening supply chain crisis. And this is my own commentary. Just one way to start this idea of martial law. How long before National Guard and the U.S. military stand at the grocery stores or patrol the hallways of your child's school? Elizabeth, it's worse, I think, in Victoria, Australia, than what you commented upon in another part of Australia.
Queensland, yes.
Yes, in Queensland. And as you said, there the attitude was stupid, but maybe benevolent. That was the health official, Jeanette Young, I believe you said.
Right.
Now, the Natural News headline for October 25th is this. Victoria, Australia, says unvaccinated residents should be forced to opt out of health care entirely and, quote, let nature take its course, unquote.
Ooh, you know, that's a lot like getting these shots okayed by the FDA advisory committee. Letting nature take its course. This isn't nature. It isn't natural to put a biological weapon of spike proteins into little underage bodies. Our children in America. And again, we ask you out there to pray and to take action. Talk to pastors, talk to other people. Let your friends and relatives know about these things. Tell them to go to DividedKingdomRadio.com. Again, that's DividedKingdomRadio.com, and visit our archives. They can see the important essays that Lou and I wrote lately. They can hear the programs. Go to the archives, and Lou, tell them how to hit that button or that part.
Yes, you simply go to DividedKingdomRadio.com to get to the main website, and then depending if you're using a full-fledged computer or a smartphone, just look for the words archives.
And we do thank you very much, a few of you who have helped us again to stay on air. And we are struggling. We need some help. Our biggest need at this time would be to pay our $200 bill to Global Star Communications. So if any of you want to write out any amount, $20, $40, $50, whatever you can make out the check to Global Star Communications and mail it to Lou Caverly, C-A-V-E-R-L-Y, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, capital B-E-T-H-L-E-H-E-M, Maryland, 21609. Again, the P.O. Box is 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And also an update on that Pennsylvania person that we had you pray for. Please pray for him. It is a man. Pray for him. And he's been working in sort of the medical establishment with medical, I don't know exactly what, but he may even be a doctor. But please pray for him. It looks like his job will be severed because he has chosen to stand for the Lord and not take the aborted fetal cell clot shots. No, no, we admire him, and please pray for him. God will take care of him if he stands for the right. All right, Lou, back to you.
Yes, now here are some good news headlines from October 25th from Natural News. Texas Governor Greg Abbott makes good on border security threat, authorizes state National Guard to make arrests of illegal aliens in historic first. Cheers to Abbott. This is our words now. Cheers to Abbott. That's the right use of the state National Guard. And from Gateway Pundit, October 26th, Jim Hoft reported this headline, quote, "It wasn't just beagles and monkeys. Fauci's NIH also funded medical experiments on AIDS orphans in New York City," unquote.
Oh, Lou, when you were sort of browsing through a little smartphone and you found this, I couldn't believe it. We didn't know the worst shock was yet to come about the FDA and okaying the vaccine, the Pfizer vaccine, for 5 to 11-year-olds. But this is horrific. This shows what kind of gargoyles, what kind of satanic monsters are running this country. Tell us about it.
Yes, this was at a New York City hospital. It happened in 2004. 25 children died following the study by the VERA, I guess it's pronounced VERA, V-E-R-A Institute. An additional 55 children died following the studies in foster care. And according to Tim Ross, director of the Child Welfare Program at VERA, as of 2009, 29% of the remaining 417 children who were used in drug studies had died.
And these were AIDS orphans.
Yes.
You see.
And they were
evil always picks on the helpless.
Oh,
first.
Yes.
Like those elderly, helpless people in those nursing homes in the blue states. Yes, let's euthanize them first. Let's get rid of the dead wood.
And a little more background, the orphans were used by government agencies and pharmaceutical companies in deadly AIDS drug trials. This is the same abominable spirit that is emerging with the latest FDA decision to legalize harm and or death to children 9 to 11. Well, now, you see, we know it's more than 9 to 11.
It's not 9 to 11.
That's right.
It's
what is it, Elizabeth?
5 to 11.
5 to 11, that's right. All right. Then, last week, now, that ends the headlines. Last week, Satan groveled the airwaves on our broadcast. So we need to focus once more on Donna Howell and Allie Henson's book, Dark Covenant, and the evil acceptance of Satan or Satanic Celebrity Culture and Entertainment by Christian America. So here, we're going to read a few of these again, and then we'll go on.
Consider, this is from Dark Covenant, consider the Handmaid's Tale television series as one obvious example. For those who aren't familiar with it, this program, based on the book by Margaret Atwood, paints a dystopian future wherein natural human reproduction is threatened by plummeting fertility rates that are a result of sexually transmitted diseases and environmental contaminants. We might interject, that's what's going to happen now when all these women who are vaccinated, according to at least one obstetrician, they're having damage to their uterus. The men are having swelling testicles. So there's going to be some sterility from all of this COVID residue, shall we say, on our culture. Back to the book. The American government, now known as Gilead, is run by totalitarian theonomic dictators who have established a new hierarchy of social classes involving extreme subjugation of women, including their being prohibited to read or write. Inhumane cruelty is commonplace for anyone who steps outside the favor of tyrannical authority, and the worst of all evils is committed by the most fanatically religious devotees. Democracy is dead, and there is only one permissible religion to which everyone in society must submit, a fundamentalist Christian belief system called the Sons of Jacob. And I'll just comment, Elizabeth Cuppett Caverly here, that that shows us that this book was not written out of a spirit of true anti-tyranny to women, etc. No, it's written with the satanic influence to demonize Christians. Back to the excerpt from Dark Covenant. At the lowest social rung are the handmaids, ritual fertility sex slaves modeled after a warped interpretation of Laban's handmaid, Bilhah, from Genesis 29:29. Who are forced to bear surrogate children for the commanders in order to contribute to a streamlined human population. This sexual act, known as the ceremony, takes place with the commander's wife's participation as she sits behind the handmaid's head and holds her arms down, symbolically insinuating that the forced act of copulation is consensual between man and wife. What explanation might there be for this show's immense popularity? Is it merely a gripping plot? Does our society tune in more than it would have because of a huge advertising budget? Was there a greater buzz about this particular Hulu title than so many other programs due to the awkward, twisted scenes between the male masters and their birth slave women? Or is there perhaps another, more sinister reason that a story based on one of the most banned books in the country for 20 years has become such a regular, contemporary living room companion?
And these are my words, now our most crowd-pleasing. Programming shamelessly involves a man raping his slave in the presence of his accomplice wife to the reading of God's Word. Now back to the book. Main characters of Will and Grace intermittently make fun of scripture and Bible characters. They have suggested that the apostles were all gay, and their gay conversion camp episode suggested that the entire Christian agenda at this time is to undo homosexuality by sending our youth to getaways, where lyrics of well-known Sunday school songs, in this case, He's Got the Whole World in His Hands, are divorced from their original meaning and rewritten to severely indoctrinate homophobia. Rosie O'Donnell's SMILF, which is Single Mother, I'd Like to Have Adult Relations With, character, Bridget, laughs about how the Virgin Mary conceived Jesus as a result of rape by one of the apostles. Cameron Monaghan's Shameless, character, protests outside a church by yelling crude and obscene urban slang terms for homosexual acts and calling them, quote, Jesus love, unquote, and is subsequently heralded as the virile hero, Gay Jesus, as a result of his demonstrations. Fiona Gubelman's hateful, and that's in quotes, hateful, hypocritical, unquote, but Christian daytime divas character, Heather, who is mother to a transgender child, she declares was made transgender by God, engages in abusive S&M sex with her husband while reading from the Word and getting spanked and bruised with a cross-shaped paddle. An act described later in the episode as a kinky three-way with God. IFC's Brockmire included an episode wherein the lead character, Jim, during an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, calls Jesus the Meyer of Auschwitz, and went on to say something so blasphemous that we can't bring ourselves to write it verbatim here. But a synonymous and far less profane way to state what he said was that, quote, God needs to man up, unquote. Second place for the most blasphemous award is the episode of Netflix's Insatiable, involving the enthusiastic Miss Magic Jesus pageant, wherein young teenagers compete to win the Crown of Thorns in a choir number, citing the lyrics, Sweet, sweet Jesus inside me. Yeah, oh Spirit, please ride me. At the absolute top of the list of offenses we found is an episode of Preacher that begins with, quote, a graphic and gratuitous sex scene portraying Jesus losing his virginity with a married woman the night he was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, unquote.
And more from this book, Dark Covenant. Okay, now take every concern that you just read about television alone and apply it to trends we can expect to see, and we are already seeing in movies, that exponentially increases the grooming of society to view Christianity as a cult. Some report that a new independent film, Habit, casting pop star idol Michael Jackson's daughter, Paris Jackson, as the lead, depicts Jesus Christ as a beautiful lesbian who intervenes on behalf of a young girl pretending to be a nun. As of mid-pandemic 2020, information about the film is scarce since COVID-19 has slowed down much production in Hollywood. These authors, however, won't be surprised if this lesbian Jesus film hits the screen at a later time. Now, this is Elizabeth, and Lou and I are going to be weaving more excerpts from this book, Dark Covenant, that show satanic symbols proliferating all over the U.S., invading culture and government buildings, while interspersing modern-day news of individual tragic stories, methods Satan is using to break down and do harm everywhere in every aspect of our daily lives, from tainted food to tainted movies and TV. We go all over the map as we explore tonight's program title, Dark Covenant, Genocide Underway. And first, now, we again go back to Dark Covenant. In America, a nation birthed in Christian values and goals, at least by the arriving Puritans, if not by the forefathers, whose religion was often anything but Christian, despite popular beliefs to the contrary, demonic imagery on public grounds should be an outrage, a scandal, a crime. Nevertheless, we have reached the sky when blatant occultism isn't at all uncommon. One demoralizing example of this is when a state capitol building either displays a demonic sculpture or takes down its time-honored Christian artwork in the interest of religious impartiality, just to avoid having to include a demonic sculpture. Both of these circumstances have happened recently, several times nationwide. We'll look at Arkansas, Oklahoma, and Illinois as merely some examples of this large-scale mess. In 2015, the Satanic Temple requisitioned a large statue of Satan appearing in the classic Sabbatic goat Baphomet likeness created by mystic Eliphas Levi. Unlike the traditional Baphomet, however, this hermaphroditic breasts, these hermaphroditic breasts would be traded out for the inclusion of two young and assumedly innocent children, one boy and one girl, gazing up in awe, wonder, and clear admiration at Satan upon his throne. Now, this is Elizabeth. I have to interject again. We can see that nothing is more important to Satan than the blasphemous abomination to God of child sacrifice. From the time the Israelites were throwing their babies into the Moloch fires up in those groves, and God said he would kick them out of their land, what's going to happen here in America? We wonder. But we see here, it's always the extra energy, the innocence that Satan wants through the murder of the children. So these children here are being used, you see, to sanitize this Baphomet likeness. The adjustment would be carried out in order to, quote, make the statue more publicly palatable. Yet the sight of these two virtuous adolescents worshipfully taking in the majesty, quote, the majesty of Satan in this sculpture is, to be honest, more disturbing than the breasts would have been, in the opinion of many believers, as it represents potential eternal damnation for two pure souls, as opposed to the same kind of public breast indecency we're all exposed to at any feminist march these days. Upon its completion, the Satanic Temple planned that it would be installed on the lawn of the Oklahoma State Capitol building, right next to the Ten Commandments monument that had been privately funded and previously raised without objection. The Oklahoma Supreme Court's hands were tied in regards to refusing the Baphomet while retaining the Ten Commandments. As such, a decision would debate the state's constitution. This was decided to be the case, despite those who rose to remind the court that the Ten Commandments isn't just a religious document, but a set of rules that greatly influenced the, quote, formation of American law, and was therefore justifiable as an exhibit on Capitol grounds based on its national, quote, historical context alone. In the end, the court not only had the Satanic Temple threats to consider, but also those of Universal Society of Hinduism's president, Rajan Zed, demanding that if the Ten Commandments were allowed to remain, their prized Lord Hanuman, the protector monkey god of the Ramayana Hindu epic, must have a place on the property as well. What a circus. So when put to a vote, the majority ruled in favor of prohibiting all religious structures, and the biblical commandments were ordered to be removed. 4 months later, they were transported to another location in the middle of the night, in the dark, under the supervision of, quote, at least two dozen troopers to avoid civil unrest. Now, again, we see this thing where Satan's tyranny wants to put these precursors to martial law. And here, they wouldn't only have these troopers at the grocery stores or at the borders. They would have them here in the religious circles, watching over what's going on, you see? And this would have come in the form of protests, the civil unrest, by Christians, or taunts, provocations from Satanists. Far from considering the court's decision a loss, the Satanic Temple celebrated. Its spokesperson stated that the entire purpose of the Baphomet from the beginning had been to reaffirm that we live in a nation that respects plurality, a nation that refuses to allow a single viewpoint to co-opt the power and authority of government institutions. Feeling they had accomplished their goal, and with the Ten Commandments out of the picture, the Satanic Temple discontinued the pursuit of installing the Satanic statue on Oklahoma Capitol grounds. Bring Baphomet to Arkansas fundraising campaign to fight the ruling and organize a protest to take place in the summer of 2018. So I think I need to back up a little bit and say that the Satanic Temple had shifted their attention away from Oklahoma to Little Rock, Arkansas, and their state capitol building. And this also had a Ten Commandment monument. The book says, the group's attempts to have Baphomet installed as the lawn neighbor of the depiction of God's laws were initially unsuccessful due to Arkansas laws requiring that state monuments must have legislative sponsorship. Now, here we have what I started before. The Satanic Temple responded by starting and quickly reaching a $20,000 Bring Baphomet to Arkansas fundraising campaign to fight the ruling and organize a protest to take place in the summer of 2018. That August, the rally became a showdown between vociferous Satanists, atheists, and Christians alike on the steps of the Arkansas Capitol. But overall, the results were inconclusive. The Satanic Temple and the state of Arkansas are currently awaiting court hearings since the temple filed a lawsuit against the state for infraction of constitutional religious equality. While the Satanic Temple continues to pester government buildings for the rights to display the Baphomet Satan as an equivalent to God, their other endeavors toward the goal of extreme blasphemy have already proven successful. In the October following the Arkansas rally, the Satanic Temple of Chicago started a GoFundMe fundraiser for $1,500 toward the installation of their, quote, snake nativity, a blatant demonization of the word nativity display, inside the Illinois State Capitol building. The artwork depicted a black hand gripping an apple with a snake coiling around it, an obvious visual reference to the forbidden fruit and the serpent from the biblical account of the Garden of Eden. The campaign, which began with the plea, "Please consider what you may do to help us bring Satan to Springfield," was a success and ultimately raised more than $1,200 above their goal. This sculpture, bursting from a red-lit four-foot base that reads with a Gnostic, "Knowledge is the greatest gift" mantra, was settled in warmly next to a Christmas tree and nativity scene with the intent that passersby would be enraptured with satanic holiday cheer from December 2nd to 29th, 2018.
And now we move on to an article by Ethan Huff. San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus releases new song, threatens to turn all children gay and transgender. This appeared Friday, July 9th, 2021. A prominent homosexual men's choir based out of San Francisco has put out a new song promising to convert all of America's children into the cult of LGBTQ. The San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus posted an, quote, original music video, unquote, to YouTube entitled "A Message from the Gay Community." The message is that the six-colored Rainbow Brigade is coming for your children. At the start of the video, the singer creepily smirks about how the goal of homosexuals is to, quote, convert the children, unquote. With those quintessentially demonic eyes that are prominent throughout the gay community, the singer goes on to explain that the cult of LGBTQ was never interested in just getting married, as long claimed, but is rather focused on forcibly converting the next generation of youth into its ranks. Quote, as we celebrate pride and progress we've made over these past years, there's still work to be done, the lyrics go on to reveal. So to those of you out there who are still working against equal rights, we have a message for you. You think we'll corrupt your kids if our agenda goes unchecked, the singer further admits about his community's agenda, which the cult of LGBTQ long denied even existed. Funny, and this is a quote, funny, just this once, you're correct, unquote. We'll convert your children, this is also in quotes, happens bit by bit, quietly and subtly, and you will barely notice it. And it goes on to say, and we have some other things here.
And again, Lou, we interject that Satan wants the children. He's coming for the children through the LGBTQ infiltration and propagandizing so that parents are kind of half insane if they want to mutilate their children's sex organs, have it done by horrible doctors. It's really something. Go ahead.
Yes, the article goes on to say, if you are not already sick to your stomach, the lyrics further go on to promise that the queers will get to your children no matter how hard you try to protect them, whether that be through corrupted school curriculum or content online. The singer smugly bellows, quote, just like you're worried they'll change their group of friends, you won't approve of where they go at night. And you'll be disgusted when they start learning things online that you kept far from their sight, unquote. As for Generation Z, as they call them, which includes people who were born between the years 1995 and 2010, the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus suggests that most of them are already LGBTQs, and that even more will be recruited from those in younger generations. The more time that goes on, and the more people continue to have children, the cult of LGBTQ will have a never-ending supply of innocent children to corrupt and destroy with its agenda of perversion and wickedness, at least until God finally puts a stop to it. The singer goes on to chant with that same creepy smile, "We're coming for them. We're coming for your children. We're coming for them." As of this writing, the video in question was mysteriously pulled from YouTube, perhaps for gaining widespread attention. Many user comments were condemning of the video, and rightfully so. One of them wrote, "Is this a message of love, unity, tolerance, acceptance? I don't believe it is, and it's perhaps a reason why it was taken down. In my view, the message seems to have a threatening quality about it, as if they're going to force their agenda upon you, whether you agree with it or not. And as the song sings, convert your children."
And you know, Lou, this is no new message, no new threat. It circulated around a long time. We used to see a copy of it. I think some leaders of the gay community in the 70s, they said, we're coming for you young men, and we'll get them in the hallways. We, you know, in other words, more like a rape, actually.
That's right. Yeah. Others pointed out that if homosexuality is not a choice, as the cult of LGBTQ insists, then how can children be recruited and converted? Something does not add up. Suggesting that, yes, the cult of LGBTQ has been lying all these years about its true nature. Another commenter wrote about the pedophilic nature of the video. Quote, "I get a strong psychotic vibe from this message." Unquote. Next, we have some LifeSite news by Doug Mainwaring. Gay hookup app Grindr condemns outing of top U.S. priest who used it. July 23rd, 2021. Again from LifeSite News. Grindr, that's G-R-I-N-D-R, the gay hookup app that serves to facilitate anonymous homosexual encounters, condemned the Catholic publication The Pillar for outing one of its users, the now former Secretary General of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, Monsignor Jeffrey Burrell, who apparently, quote, engaged in serial sexual misconduct, unquote. In statements made since the bombshell investigation by The Pillar that was published Tuesday, Grindr attempted to deny that anonymous customer data is sold. It's sold could have led to the unmasking of Burrell, while also condemning the investigation as, quote, homophobic and full of unsubstantiated innuendo, unquote.
How do we spell that Monsignor's name, that last name?
B-U-R-R-I-L-L.
Okay.
According to the Pillar report, Grindr was the source of a trove of commercially available data that it purchased that an analyst was then able to link to a mobile device used by Burrell, showing that he, quote, visited gay bars and private residences while using a location-based hookup app in numerous cities from 2018 to 2020, even while traveling on assignment for the U.S. Bishops' Conference, unquote. The alleged covert homosexual activity by Burrell is especially troubling because of his powerful role at the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, directing diocesan and conference responses to clerical sexual scandals. Those seeking to normalize and protect homosexuality within the Catholic Church took to social media this week to object to the Pillar story and protect Burrell. Quote, "This is a disgrace, spying on bishops and priests to see if they're being chaste and celibate," tweeted Father James Martin, S.J., perhaps the most outspoken force for the normalization of homosexuality and transgenderism within the Roman Catholic Church. The Church teaches that bishops and priests, with the exception of those married before ordination, such as Eastern Rite priests, or those in the Anglican Ordinariate, are to be celibate. Continued Martin, quote, of course it's aimed at gay priests and gay apps, which shouldn't surprise anyone. It's part of the ongoing witch hunt against gay priests, unquote. This is a disgrace, spying on bishops and priests to see if they're being chaste and celibate. Why not spy on lay teachers at Catholic schools? Why not spy on all parishioners? And we have one mail in response to this article that said the following. Here's the bottom line. There isn't a living, breathing Catholic who understands the crisis in the Church, who doesn't know the overriding issue is homosexuality within the clergy and even the bishops, said church militants Michael Voris. Heck, 10 years ago, the New York Times correctly labeled the Catholic priesthood a gay profession, unquote.
And Lou, now we move on again. We see that the value of human life as God created is just becoming worthless. Oregon becomes third state in U.S. to legalize human composting. Law goes into effect in 2022. WorldNet Daily, June 18th, 2021. Oregon is one step closer to allowing people to turn their bodies into soil after they die. Oregon Governor Kate Brown signed House Bill 2574 Tuesday. The bill will legalize what's known as natural organic reduction, or what some refer to as human composting. It also clarifies rules surrounding alkaline hydrolysis, known as aqua cremation. The law goes into effect July 1, 2022. Representative Pam Marsh from District 3 in southern Jackson County, who co-sponsored the bill with Representative Brian Clem, said she was excited to hear the news that the bill passed the Senate on June 8th. She, you know, Lou, I'm interjecting. This is Elizabeth. There's one more little housewife who should have stayed home and used her mental, quote, prowess with her children and her family. She said she initially decided to sponsor the bill because constituents in her area are interested in alternative after-death options. Quote, my colleagues could see as well that in addition to providing families with a choice, it also is a business opportunity, she said. And then we move on again, this value of life. Non-GMO foods being grown in human sewage sludge and sprayed with glyphosate and pesticides, May 21st, 2021, by Mike Adams at Natural News. And this is so important. All of you listeners want to stay well. And so we really have to see that we're shocked. We thought that non-GMO project verified foods, Lou and I always look for that label, would really assure us everything was okay. Because we already knew that when something on a food product says non-GMO, you can't believe it at all. You can't. There's no teeth in that. But now we find out non-GMO project verified foods can be grown in biosludge that contains used feminine hygiene products such as tampons, dissolved bodies of humans infected with COVID spike proteins, light industrial waste from hospitals and dental offices, birth control pills, and other hazardous substances that are flushed into municipal sewer systems. The spreading of biosludge on food crops across America is fully documented in my film, Biosludged, available to watch for free at biosludged.com. Important to this entire discussion is the fact that USDA-certified organic foods cannot be grown in biosludge, and they cannot be sprayed with glyphosate, a toxic weed killer herbicide. Additionally, USDA-certified organic always means non-GMO, since genetically engineered crops are not allowed to be certified organic under current USDA rules. So Adam says, in a sense, you might even say that the non-GMO Project Verified label is greenwashing processed foods that are far from clean or healthy. So look there when you grocery shop, listeners. Lou and I don't touch any kind of GMO corn, do we, Lou?
No, stay away from that.
And we try not to use GMO-containing milk. It's pretty hard to find everything that you want. But now we must get back to the spiritual things going on, the horrible things. And, Lou, I think, what number are you at?
I was going to do number 6, which is a companion to what you just were talking about, glyphosate.
I think skip it. We'll bring it back to the listeners later.
And I have one of the ones that I think you would have, 7B.
What do you have? I have 7B. I have the communist Cuba, the infanticide. Do you have Gavin Newsom?
I do, yes.
All right. Let's first get what communist Cuba is doing. I have it. Thursday, September 23rd, Arsenio Toledo at naturalnews.com. Communist Cuba is vaccinating children as young as 2 years old with toxic spike protein jabs. On Monday, multiple mainstream media outlets were invited by the communist nation to the capital of Havana to witness a carefully choreographed portion of the mass vaccination. During a single day at a Policlinico General Hospital in Havana, where CNN and other media were invited to film the vaccinations, more than 230 children ages 3 to 5 were vaccinated, said the report. Cuba is giving its homegrown vaccines, known as Soberana 02 and Abdala, to its citizens, including children and toddlers. Health officials claim these vaccines are safe to give to the very young. Our country would not put infants, even at minimal risk, if the vaccines were not proven safe and highly effective when put into children, claimed Arolis Otano, director of the Vedado Polyclinic University in Havana. The polyclinic expects to vaccinate around 300 children between the ages of 2 and 5 per day. Otano attempted to justify the communist nation's mass vaccination campaign against children by claiming that the post-vaccine Delta variant of the coronavirus caused a surge in COVID-19 infections among the country's youngest populations. This forced the Cuban scientific community, quote, to take the vaccine to clinical trial, after which it was approved for use in children. The communist nation's main health regulator, the Center for State Control of Medicines and Medical Devices, CECMED, announced in early September the expansion of the country's mass vaccination campaign to include children between the ages of 2 and 17. Related article, Cuba, first country in the world to administer COVID-19 vaccines to toddlers. According to Ben Como, around 117,500 minors have been diagnosed with COVID-19, of whom 7,660 were breastfeeding infants. The approval of the vaccines for children is based on data provided by the Finley Institute of a clinical trial that only involved a paltry 350 children and teenagers between the ages of 3 and 18. This trial only reached up to phase two. And Lou, we have to interject. We heard Dr. Jane Ruby tell us that in getting this approval, I believe, Pfizer, for these littler children, they didn't really have any real clinical trials. They compared what had happened to the age 16 to 25 people. And that's not really very valid, is it?
No, that would be, in my way of thinking, absolutely worthless. I don't think that would tell you anything about how it would affect small children.
So everything is fraudulent,
yes,
isn't it? There really weren't clinical trials. Okay, back to the article about Cuba. More importantly, the summary of the trial results did not say how effective the Cuban COVID-19 vaccines are against infections, hospitalizations, and deaths in children. Scientists from the Finley Institute are instead relying on efficacy data from a larger clinical trial involving only adults, which supposedly show that the Soberana O2 vaccine is 91.2% effective at protecting against symptomatic COVID-19. Despite the incomplete clinical trials and the lack of data, the Cuban government still approved the vaccines for children. Ben Como tried to argue that what little data the health ministry had proved that the vaccines are safe for children. It should be noted that not even the World Health Organization has approved the Cuban COVID-19 vaccines, And now, you see, this we're on a continuum. We were moving from this communist, horrible kind of imposition on its littlest residents to now to Gavin Newsom, and there's been a lot of protesting against Gavin Newsom since this article, but let's see this. We have then at the apex the latest FDA scurrilous, abominable, criminal approval. Lou, what about Gavin Newsom?
Yes, we have from LifeSite News, the title, Newsom to mandate COVID shots for public and private schools, kids as young as kindergarten. This is by Calvin Freeberger, October 1st, 2021, Dateline Sacramento. California's Democrat Governor Gavin Newsom announced Friday his intentions to make the COVID-19 vaccine mandatory for in-person learning at public and private schools alike in the state, the first mandate of its kind. The Daily Wire reports that the new mandate will take effect the semester following formal approval of the COVID-19 vaccines for younger age groups by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, the FDA. It will begin with grades 7 through 12, to be followed by kindergarten through grade 6, with quote-unquote rare exceptions for religious or medical reasons. Newsom, who survived a grassroots recall effort last month, declared Friday, quote, "We are all exhausted by this pandemic. We are all exhausted by this, and that is the purpose of this. We hope this encourages folks to get vaccinated. We have no trepidation, no hesitancy in encouraging local districts to move forward more expeditiously," unquote.
And do you really think that Governor Gavin Newsom's little children will get these shots? I think not. And we can see how important it is that we try to save our children. So please, please tell others about DividedKingdomRadio.com. Pray and take action. Call your representatives. Call Congress. Do whatever you can do. Talk to pastors. Talk to people. Try to write letters to the editor if you have that talent. Because, yes, they use the results of those trials with people ages 12 to 21, didn't we say? No, 16. I think 16 to 21. But here, what happened to those people? Fully vaccinated 21-year-old student died from COVID-19 weeks after experiencing symptoms. This is Tuesday, October 19, 2021. Natural News by Zoe Scott. A senior college student died from the Wuhan coronavirus on October 11th, even though he was fully vaccinated. Sean Kuhn, a 21-year-old majoring in exercise and sports science at the University of Georgia, was taken to three different hospitals for at least 6 weeks. In a social media post on October 10th, his father said that he was eventually placed in a medically induced coma and was put on a ventilator. According to his obituary, Kuhn was an avid UGA Bulldog fan with a passion for serving others. Related article, New Zealand records its first Pfizer vaccine-linked death. At UGA, Kuhn was working towards a bachelor's degree in exercise and sports science. The student also worked as a certified personal trainer at UGA's Ramsey Student Center. A competitive fisherman, Kuhn also enjoyed hiking. Libby Buchanan, a UGA alumna and Kuhn's friend, describes him as one of the most caring, helpful, and fun people she's known and met at UGA. "Anytime you were around Sean, you couldn't help but smile and laugh. He never spoke bad about anyone and only encouraged you to be the best." Sharia Brooke Kuhn, Kuhn's older sister, says he was fully vaccinated. According to the latest data from the CDC, 30,177 patients were hospitalized or died, even though they were fully vaccinated, as of October 4th. Health officials have expressed their concerns over the reports of more coronavirus breakthrough cases in Pennsylvania. In the past month, at least 26% of almost 5,000 hospitalizations for coronavirus-related issues within the state of Pennsylvania were among fully vaccinated people. In September, Cleveland Clinic reported at least 15% of all new coronavirus cases it treated were breakthrough infections, and that 10% of hospitalizations occurred in vaccinated individuals. And Lou, you have a sad case now of a husband. Let's get that one.
I do. This came from Great Game India, October 19th. The headline says, "I blame myself for vaccinating my wife." And the remorse of this husband is extreme, yet it pales compared to how parents will wail if Biden's horrendous 28 million planned children shots go through. Injury, sudden death. That's what will happen. And years of invalidism for survivors. This is unimaginable. We must just smack it out and stop it. But going back to the article, the husband says, "I still curse myself for persuading my wife to take the vaccine. I thought it would save us from the virus, but it killed her," said Mr. Gupta. And he was a shop owner in East Delhi, India.
And very quickly, does it give some details of what happened to her? She got the shot. We'll have to kind of shorten a little bit.
Not a great deal, no.
But go ahead with what
it goes on to talk about many of the police department in Chicago are refusing the shot. That's the last part of the article.
Oh, that's excellent. That's good. And what about the military? Does it mention it again, what actions are being taken?
I don't believe it does in this particular article, no.
No, we appeal to those patriotic Americans who are in the military. We don't want them to be cannon fodder. And we had some pretty strong warnings last week on our program. The program for October 21st, that was. We know they were pretty powerful and important because we haven't had a Chinook helicopter go over warning us, intimidating us for a long, long time. Probably the last time was when we were traveling to Pennsylvania to my mother's home, a little town of about 200 people. We pulled in, we parked, and two of them went right over my mother's house. We were warned. But it doesn't matter. Steve Quayle possibly was a victim of an assassination attempt with a bioweapon done in an aerosol form. But people all over the world prayed for Steve Quayle, and he's alive. You see, God is in the final control of who lives, who dies, and what happens. So don't be afraid. Stand up. Protect America's beloved children. Pray how you should do, what you should do. God wants to use you. We pray that you will do something. Take an action. Good night.